What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Hana Ho Podcast. It's me, Willie Paul. I'm sitting here with a very official-looking Pastor Elwin.
Oh, finally.
Pastor Elwin, you got the Aloha shirt on. Are you in your office right now?
I'm in my office, and we're going to be doing some video shoots on some other things. But yes, I do work. I do have an office. Usually I'm shooting at home, but you know, things are kind of opening up. But you know, I'm back in my office. So yeah,
here I am. Quick question. Is that picture behind you, is that you shredding right there?
Yeah. So I got two pictures behind me. One over my, my right shoulder. That's with me and Pastor Roy. Some of you might know Pastor Roy Yamamoto with Agape Christian Fellowship. Somebody captured that picture. We had a surf meet together, and this photographer took that picture, and I thought, you know, that's a cool shot because, you know, if you know his story, ex-con. So you have an ex-con and an ex-judge surfing on the same wave. You know, where do you ever see that happen, right?
Yeah.
And so that's in my office. Kind of reminds me, humbles me, because he's a much better surfer than I am.
Is that you in the white shirt or the red shirt?
I'm in the white shirt.
Ah, okay. So, okay.
Yeah, so it looks like I'm dropping in on him, but he actually came in on the backside. And
always
this
follow.
Picture on my left shoulder is actually an article that was written in the Advertiser. That's when I left the bench and somebody picked up on it. And the headlines actually says, ex-judge finds new hope. And so it kind of tracks my testimony.
Yeah. Is that your gavel underneath that? Underneath that picture, is that your gavel?
Yeah, when I, it's not a working gavel. When I retired, they gave me something to commemorate my years on the bench.
Does a gavel have to be like official?
I don't really use a gavel. It's actually, the bailiff actually bangs a gavel.
Oh. Interesting. Do you ever take that when you're like having meetings in your office and like the conversation's going long or something, you take the gavel off the wall and you order?
Yeah. Only when Willie Paul comes in my office.
And it starts getting rowdy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's some law and order here. So.
Yeah. We're getting into the weekend message that you gave this past weekend, Pastor Elwin, about the Samaritan woman, the woman at the well. And so I wanted to ask, this is actually a good intro because these are the people that kind of impacted you with Pastor Roy and a little bit of your testimony or your history on the wall. The message was about, a lot of it was about the Samaritan woman and how Jesus approached her, which was like breaking down all of these cultural barriers and cultural do's and don'ts. To show her the love of God, which was like revolutionary at the time, it sounds so trivial to us, but to the original readers, to the people that John was writing to when it happened with Jesus, like that was groundbreaking, revolutionary stuff. And through Jesus showing the Samaritan woman, the woman at the well, his love and acceptance and forgiveness, the whole town came to know Jesus and he stayed with them for a few days. So Pastor Elwin, as that picture shows you surfing with someone who impacted your life, I was actually wondering, some of the people who, when you first started coming to know Jesus, who were some of the people that showed you love in the way that Jesus loves you and like how that helped to shape you to who you are now?
Yeah, I think there's several. I think one is the guys that I served with at New Hope at the time. So again, we were setting up the church, you know, at 12:30 in the morning, and because it was a setup and takedown kind of a thing. Tents,
brutal
speakers, everything. Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, you know, you talk about people volunteering their time and why. And non-judgmental kind of thing. Even though I've been through all the junk in my own life, nobody ever pointed out to me that, oh, that was wrong, you're bad, you shouldn't even be here, you know. So all that, what Jesus did for the woman, which was totally countercultural, not expected, nobody would ever think he would ever do something like that. You know, that happened with me and these guys. We call them the Levites ministry because they set up the tabernacle or the church. It's really scrubbing junk out of toilets in a public school bathroom, you know, stuff like that. But nobody ever judged me for my past, but they loved me for who I was and believed in me and to who I could become. It wasn't a judge thing. I really wanted to keep that hidden from them. So I would wear, you know, just regular junk t-shirts and shorts, and nobody knew that I was sit on the bench with, you know, a black robe in a weekdays. Mm-hmm. So they loved me for who I was. And that was a big deal for me. Mm. And so there are mornings, you know, when I would have to wake up, and I don't want to wake up at 12:30 in the morning,
yeah,
on a weekend, you know, I mean, who wants to do that? But I would always think to myself, if I didn't get up, then my brother would have to lift more chairs and more tables. And so I want to be there because of them, you know. Mm. So that was very influential for me. You know, the other is, of course, Joy, my wife, who would want to love me after what I had been through, and who would want to even trust that I would stay married to her or get engaged in a relationship of commitment when I couldn't even commit to, you know, prior marriages. Mm-hmm. And so she showed me truly, you know, unconditional love. And she still is, by the way. I still make up. But she really was very instrumental in my life. And then that picture with Roy, you know, to see his life do a complete turnaround, talking about radical transformation, you know, this guy, and if you go and listen to his story, you know, his testimony, it's just amazing. And then when you listen to some of the stories that we would share while we're waiting for waves, you know, out there, telling me about where he was and locked up and things that he used to do, but to see how his life has completely changed because of the unconditional love of God, you know, how can I look at myself and go, man, I was a bad dude. This guy was a bad dude. And yet God forgave all of us and gave us a chance. So yeah, that was a big deal.
Do you keep in touch with those people that you would like set up 12:30, 1 a.m.?
I don't. It's not a, you know, we're not on a Zoom call, a weekly thing. There've been some get-togethers, you know, when somebody is going through a hard time, we'd all show up, you know. So the bonds are still there, even though we don't have it as a natural part of our social life. You know, the connections are still there. Just on a drop of a dime, if somebody was to call, you know, you're there.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just curious because, like, I don't know, it's so crazy to me to show up and you're it's 1 a.m. and you're like setting up a tent or like carrying chairs, and it's not like a ulterior motive or anything, but you're just showing up and loving that person. And then I don't know if they had any idea that like you were gonna be planting a church and like doing all of these things, but they were just there doing life where God had called them, and through those relationships it kind of pushed you and grew you in that direction.
Yeah. And I would say, you know, everybody likes a church building. Everybody wants to have a facility where you walk in, you turn on the switch, and you have church. Mm-hmm. Something to be said about, you know, pioneering. You know, I talked a little bit about that in our staff meeting, that pioneer spirit, that you don't know what's going to happen next. And when we set up tents and chairs and speaker systems and soundboards and, you know, when we set all those things up, it was never with a concept of, okay, let's do this for the next 6 months because then we'll get something more permanent. It was never like that. We did it because it had to be done. And if you didn't do it, what, you know, who would be doing it?
Yeah.
Where would you have church? And so, you know, I think we needed a crew of maybe, I would guess maybe 20 people that would make things a lot easier. Some ways we only had 5. you know, drive the truck, unload it. Yeah, there's some mornings where we didn't have. And yet, and this is the funny thing about, I owe it all to the Holy Spirit and to God. And yet the fewer people we had, the faster we got it set up.
Really?
Yeah. Because everybody just doing. We got to get it done.
So yeah.
Bang, 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 you know. And then after we would sit back, somebody would make breakfast and, you know, we'd sit back and enjoy. And wow, we can't believe we got this thing done. Yeah, man, look at what time. We got it done even faster, you know. So, yeah. And when I see churches, you know, like ours, you know, I knew when we moved from a lower tower to here that we were going to lose a little bit. Because we can literally walk in, turn on the switch, and we're there. And that's the challenge, you know?
Yeah. I think that just that story fits so perfectly in just what you were talking about. You shared that quote from Mother Teresa where someone asked, like, how do you expect to make a change? And she said, I'm just going to start with the person right in front of me. And like, I mean, all these people that were showing up were just doing what was needed. Like, we got to set up. So we're going to set up. And through that, those relationships and that time that you would spend together, like, grew. And I don't think that you had an agenda of when you were going. It was like, okay, I'm going to do this, like you just said, for 6 months, and then this, and then this. It was just, I'm going to do this because this is what needs to be done where God has me. And then through that, you were able to show the love of Jesus, and other people were able to show you the love of Jesus. And then it just kind of like grew into this thing that nobody probably would have expected.
Yeah. And I think, and I would owe my growth, you know, the things that I've done since then, but that my personal growth, I think, was the greatest in those times, those years. It wasn't where I went to Bible study, you know, I mean, Bible college, or got a degree or anything like that. The greatest growth in me as a Christian, as a leader, happened in those years where you were willing to lay it all down on the line. And that's when I began to sense that something was happening. You know, it wasn't an overnight thing, but something was happening. And that, you know, like the lady, you know, the woman at the well went back to her hometown, and she said to them, he knows everything about me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so going there as a Levite and just burying my soul to him as I'm working and scrubbing and lifting, that I began to realize that God knows everything about me. And yet he's never judged me. He's never condemned me. You know, he's accepted me. So, and that changes a lot, man. It that communicates to people around you.
Yeah.
That this place is safe. It's a safe place that you can be who God made you to be.
How long did you do that for?
Oh, 90. So I started going to the church 95, 96. I got baptized December 29th, 1996. I got baptized. Imagine that, the 29th.
So when I was 2 years old.
So they're going to have a baptism. I think it was December 2nd. And then something happened. And so they pushed it off to the 29th. And I said, okay, I'm going to do this. So the 29th in 1996, I got baptized. And in January 3rd, so I said to myself, I got to change.
Mm.
So the very next week, January 3rd, I think it was, they were having a men's, or supposed to be a men's thing. And I show up without knowing that they actually canceled men's. And so it was me. Yeah. two other guys that didn't get the word. And so we had a little, you know, I wouldn't call it a Bible study, but we got together and we prayed. And then I said to myself, I got to get involved.
Mm.
And, you know, something was just pushing me to get involved. And so at that time, we're setting up at the Stan Sheriff. And so I showed up to start setting up. And yeah. So I did that from 97. Oh, 97, 98. Yeah, I would say about a year and a half of doing that. And then Pastor Wayne said, I guess, you know, I don't know if he found out, whatever. But he said, can you help me with this? You know, and it was more the hospitality, coffee and whatever. And he said, see what you can come up with. So I went downtown and I walked downtown and to see what people were being attracted to. So I'm still a judge back then. So I'm walking downtown and I'm just looking at, so what's attracting people? And it was these coffee carts, espresso, you know, granitas, you know, those ice drinks.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, let's get an espresso machine. And so I looked up secondhand espresso machine. I asked people, you want to learn how to do espresso? We built up a team. Then lo and behold, we have this espresso wagon and granitas. We're making these mocha granitas. And yeah, so that went from that. And then with the greeters ministry and then ushers ministry, and then all of these things, one after the other, just started coming in and just God showing me different things.
Pastor Owen, all I need is 20,000 for a slayer. I'll be slinging espresso every Sunday.
Now,
mocha, cappuccino?
We bought ours for it was like $1,500.
Yeah, dude, those things are expensive.
Yeah, but then you just start somewhere. So I tell people, just start somewhere. You don't have to have this business plan and all that stuff.
And I ask how long you've been in it, because it can often feel like things aren't moving quick enough. I think of someone who's like been praying for the same coworker or who's been in the same job for a long time, and they're asking, God, you know, I've been praying for this person for a year now, for over a year now, and it feels like nothing is happening. But it's often those long, kind of drawn out discipleship that like the real growth comes out of. I think of Paul's writing where he says, like, this person planted the seed, I watered it, but it's God who makes it grow. And so if we're just faithful to just continue to water the seeds that God has planted in us, whether it's helping set up on Sundays or volunteering in a ministry or getting into a connect group or just checking up on a friend and just continuing to check up on them, then God can do things with that, and it doesn't have to be on our timeline.
Yeah. And doing it without any expectation that this is going to take me to the next step or so why am I not growing anymore? You know, it's because you're looking beyond where you need to be, and you know, God's trying to do something in you right now.
Yeah. We're not looking for promotions.
Yeah.
We're looking to just serve where God has us.
Yeah.
So,
same thing with loving someone, you know, that quote about Mother Teresa, start with the person in front of you. Mm-hmm. You know, how can I really make a difference in my workplace? How can I make a difference? The person right in front of you, you know, are you being a friend? And the other thing that we talked about today, yeah, about friendly or friend. People aren't looking for friendly environments. They're looking for a friend.
Mm-hmm.
So can you just simply be a friend?
Yeah. There was this person. I had a job. I delivered pizzas for a while. Yeah. And there's just this person that no one liked. Like, was just, hey, how was your day? Bad. Okay. What are you doing this weekend? Nothing. It's just everything was like negative. And so I was just like, all right. That's the person I got to be the most friendly to. And like, just through that, there was a lot of growth that came out of that. Pastor Owen, what are some, you shared the video of the Mercy Ships this past weekend where they were doing some really crazy stuff down in Sierra Leone, just changing people's lives. And it can often feel like if we aren't able to, you know, go on like a medical mission halfway across the world or like do these really big life-changing things. And it can kind of feel like, well, what difference would it make if I'm just nice to somebody or like friendly or being a friend to someone who needs it? What encouragement do you have and like practical tips for reaching the people that God has put right in front of us in our everyday lives?
Yeah. You know, I showed that video. It's kind of like Jesus when he talks in parables. It's hyperbole. Yeah, there's a very extreme. So if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be thrown into the sea. You know, that's real extreme. And it's like, man, I don't know if this mountain is ever going to move. But basically he's saying is, you know, just start with that small little mustard seed. Mm-hmm. Start with something small in front of you. Start with that person in front of you. And that's why I said in the video, and again on Sunday, you don't have to go clear across the world. It starts right where you are. I think one is just being open, just being aware. There's a lack of common sense. And then you get into, okay, so what is common sense? And I've been trying to define that. And I think common sense is an awareness. Your eyes are open to what's happening around you versus being so occupied by my space, who I am, you know, but I'm being aware about everything around me. And you pray that God give me eyes to see what you're seeing, what person that you want me to touch on today, you know, and then when he speaks, then you move in that direction, whoever that is, whatever that is. Mm-hmm. I think that's a good start, you know. Might be in your own family. Might be with your kids, you know.
I mean, that's something that Brandon has talked about like getting off of his phone when he's home and just like being more present. And that's something that I've been trying to do too. I don't have kids, but just like being more present when I'm at home, when I'm out doing something. It's so easy for me to get wrapped up in social media because that's like the currency of, you know, the generation is how much views are you getting? How much likes are you getting? And so it's easy for me to see things like if I go surfing, then I'm like, okay, what's the best angle to like take a picture so that it looks the coolest? Instead of like, just, okay, I'm here. I'm going to go talk to someone in the lineup and just like be a friend to them. Yeah. And just that idea of being able to pay attention to be open to what God is putting in front of you is huge, I think.
Yeah. And I think too, you know, some introverts that are listening to this, I am one. Joy says, you're not an introvert. I said, no, I can go on stage and talk to people. I can talk to someone, but to really do a one-on-one with me, it's, I'm introverted. I have a hard time with that. And so to the introverts that are out there, who will struggle with, well, I don't like talking to people and I don't like, you know, delivering groceries to my neighbor or something. You know, I think maybe the first step is just, I'm going to say, just pray, but you pray for them. And we like the routine. We like we consider normalcy to be, oh, I know what this is going to be, what this is going to be. And our prayers turn to be routine sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, we recite the same things in our prayers. Just take a look at the last time you said a prayer over your food. Basically the same thing, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, even if you're an introvert, you can still break out of that and pray, you know, before you take your meal, you know, say something you're thankful for. I went to lunch with this guy with a group of people this past weekend. And the wife turned to her husband and said, okay, Gary, why don't you say the prayer for our food? And he did something I thought was cool. And I tried it already. And it turned out really super cool. He said, rather than me saying a prayer and reciting the same thing, can we go around the table? There's five of us. He said, can we go around the table and each one just say one thing you're thankful for?
And like a Thanksgiving.
And we did. You know, I'm thankful that we get to be here today. And so when I went out to lunch with Jared and the girl that he's with, you know, Kira, and she's brand new, yeah, to church and all that. So she's been coming, but was just myself and Joy, Jared and her. And okay, we're going to bless the food. And it's like, ooh, kind of awkward maybe.
Yeah.
And I said, can we just do this? Can we say one thing that we're thankful for? And she said, you know, it's non-threatening. She said, I'm thankful that I got to go to church today. I thought, oh, awesome. Awesome. You know, so even though you're introverted, there are things you can do to break out of the regularity of things that you do and be conscious of somebody. Did God put somebody on your heart today?
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be like this huge pull them aside and have like a conversation and pray for them. But like there have been times where I've just been like, it's obvious that something's bothering me or something's going on. And like, after everything is done, someone will text me and just be like, hey, you seemed You seemed like you weren't yourself. Is everything okay? And it wasn't like this big thing. It was just like a little check-in, you know, like it was a text message, super low pressure. And that meant so much to me because it was like, wow, they noticed.
Yeah.
And so you don't have to be this like extrovert preaching on the street corner and like being friends to everyone. It can just be a follow-up text. Hey, you seemed off today. How's it going? You know?
Yeah. Or an act of service. So, you know, that mercy ship. You know, of course, we highlighted the nurses and the doctors and the ship's captain and stuff. Hey, there were like 400 plus people on that ship volunteering. And what were they doing? Mopping floors, cleaning out the trash, you know, and they volunteer. They come from their home country to get on this ship to just clean up after people. And you never see them. They're never known. But that's their act of service. That's what they're doing to help support what other people are doing. So there's all kinds of things that you can do.
Mm, yeah. And so just being able to start somewhere. But the important thing is starting, no matter if it's a huge step or a small one. If it's, I'm going to go and pray for this person, or if it's a, hey, God, today, I'm just going to keep my eyes open. I'm going to stay off my phone. I'm going to just be present in the moment and just be praying that you would show me like, the people in front of me. Like those are both valid steps.
Yeah. And the thing is, you never know where God's going to take that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like with the woman at the well, when you're reading it initially, you never would think she would go to her hometown and her whole town gets changed, you know? And so you never know where God's going to take that. Here's something that I didn't share on the video weekend message. I think I only shared it at the 10 o'clock on Sunday. In the video, you see, as they're talking about agriculture and the guy showing them how to plant the corn and all that, there's a quick video pan of a guy without hands.
Mm-hmm.
Hands were cut off. The backstory of that is that during the Civil War, one of the rebels came and cut off his hands in battle, chopped off his hands. The rebel came to Christ because of what Mercy Ships was doing, sharing Christ. Somehow, that rebel who cut off his hands came to Jesus, came back to the guy that he cut off his hands off and asked for forgiveness.
Wow.
And that guy without hands gave him forgiveness. And to see that happen, I mean, you're standing there in the middle of this cornfield hearing the story and your heart is just breaking because, man, what's my problem? You know?
Yeah.
In either asking forgiveness or giving forgiveness. And it's because of Jesus, because somebody was there to share the word of God and how it, you know, just the domino effect. And now look, you know, so that's kind of amazing.
Yeah. And so much is said for like the unknown that God continues, but it often starts with just that one little thing, being present, sharing with someone, being a friend, being available for them.
That's where it starts. You got to start.
You got to start. You got to start. And it's not easy, but you got to start. Whew, man, this was good. This was really good. I wasn't expecting it to go this way.
Yeah. Yeah. Spirit takes over.
Yeah. But Pastor Roman, thanks for sitting down. Thanks for showing us a little bit of your office. We've got some stuff going on at church. Head over to our website. There's a bunch of stuff happening. Our website has everything that you need to know. So head over to metrochristianchurch.com, scroll down, and there's everything going on. It's super easy. You can just register for services, watch past messages, see announcements. There's connect group finders. If you want to start somewhere, you can start in a connect group. You can start serving in a ministry. You can get into a connect group and then tell that connect group, hey, what if we did this as a group and go and serve somewhere together? That's a great place to start. So head over to our website for updates on what we're doing. And we'll see you at service and online. And next week at the Hanahou podcast.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. Thanks, Billy.
Cheers, everybody.